Blog Talk Radio.
I'm sorry about that. Once again, Blog Talk Radio is acting up with this ghetto technology that they're serving me for the price we pay here every month. Oh, I'm sorry. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome
that
to another crazy
rant.
Edition. Me ranting? Not. Me talking trash about the network that I'm on right now, right here on Blog Talk Radio? Not.
Of course not.
Me complaining that they give me crappy service because I pay them only a certain money about every month? Not. But welcome to a crazy edition of the Absolute Truth Show right here on Blog Talk Radio, cheap ass service. I am your host with a both, the King of Kings himself. Hopefully they don't cut me off soon. I am the Hot Rod. And on the phone lines, I have the one, the only.
It is Sean Black in the building once again, and not in Alabama. Yeah.
No. Trust me, they don't want your black ass in Alabama, please. But Tuesday nights, once again, you know, schedule conflicts. But with a lot going on this week or the past week, once again, Sean and I are like, well, I guess we have to talk about it. There's a lot of breaking news, hot topics going on. So the number to call, if there's anyone out there, 347-989-8402. The number, once again, is 347-989-8402. Sean Black, are you ready to talk about some politics?
If it pisses people off, why not?
Well, some people are pissed off right now in Alabama. As late breaking news, who's the senator that won?
It's so late breaking, you don't even know who ran. But yes,
I don't give a damn.
I know you don't. But the Democrat, Doug Jones, he won over the Republican Senate, Roy Moore. And from what I'm seeing, it was the closest of margins. It was a 59.5% to 48.8%. Roughly, I'd say about 10,000, between 9,000 and 10,000 votes separated the two of them. It was close. It looked like it was a part where Jones was running away early, and then Moore came back and tied it, got it close and made it very close, and then he started to run away with it some, and then you got this rush of votes that came in as they started reporting the precincts, and then we saw Jones start to take a lead, and then it got to like a virtual tie where they were literally within 500 votes of each other. And then as the precinct started to report, when they got to about maybe 95% or so of the precincts reporting in, that's when we started to see that Jones was going to win, mostly because of the write-in votes of people telling other Republicans, if you're going to vote Republican, put in a write-in vote, just don't vote for Roy Moore. And I think that's what happened as the votes tallied in. And Jones is on, I guess he's on the podium right now doing his victory speech. I don't know if Roy Moore has actually conceded anything yet, but I guess we'll figure that out, find out as we go along, probably as the show is going on right now.
Well, I just find it funny, like, all the networks, all the news networks, like, focusing on this election. And I stated earlier to Sean Black, like, wait a minute. Who's running over here? Two guys for the state, for the Senate seat, for Alabama. Okay. No disrespect overall to Alabama. Who the hell cares about Alabama? Out of all the Senate races, the whole world was focused on this one. Why? Because of a sexual story about Roy Moore. Let's be honest about that. It was not for those stories about him having sex with some teenager. That happened 40 years ago, since lately we've been trending about sexual assaults, people having sex, people groping. Would this election have been huge?
Maybe not as huge. Maybe not as huge, but it was it. Before we even get into the sexual assault and sexual harassment, all the other stuff that he had on him, he was in office twice before in Alabama, I believe as a district attorney and I believe as a judge. And both times he was either voted off from his job or had to take a leave because he wasn't doing his job as effective as he's supposed to. And he seems to have this reputation of following certain laws that only he agrees with. And that seems to be the reputation that he had in the years and years that he had been in office in various situations. So you add that on top of all of the rhetoric that not only the sexual harassment stuff, but also the things that he said about homosexuals, the things that he said about other races. He's had a lot of things that have come out of his mouth over the last few weeks that were absolutely troubling.
No, I disagree. And I know, Kato, you're listening right now, so feel free to call in because I have to curse you out about something. Because your guys, because you and Kato has attacked it, Will Moy, about the stuff you just mentioned.
Yes.
And I stated earlier, I understand what you're saying, but in the end, the people have the power to put him in the office on that. So don't be mad at him if he wins. Be mad at the people that put him in the office, because like Donald Trump, remember, we spent a whole year bashing Donald Trump, and look where we're at now, a year later.
That is true.
And also,
go ahead.
And also, think about this very carefully. But man, for all the things you just stated, for bashing and talking about gays and sexual assaults, this was a close race. That should tell you something right there. If I go out, grope woman, talk about homosexuals, talk about white people, because I'm black, I should not be even near winning at all. For this race to be close, that should tell you something overall, how the mentality of some people, I mean, maybe he was doing a good job, which I doubt it, but overall, some people believe in what he's saying. And that's the scary part about it, I think people fail to realize. To have this much, to for this to be a close race, this should not be a landslide overall, but overall, this is a very close race, and that's the scary part. I mean, yes, I know you're happy, and everybody's on social media right now, oh, Alabama, you did good, you did good. And yes, this is a kick in the foot in the mouth to Donald Trump. I'm sure in about 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, whoop, he just tweeted something about it. You know he's on Twitter ranting.
Oh, yeah.
You know, but do you think this is like a step move? Do you think this is a major victory for the Democratic Party?
It has to be a major win in this sense. We had the referendum, as we spoke about earlier in November, when we had all of those seats that happened in Virginia and in New Jersey and in some of the other spots where they had Republicans who were in office as incumbents losing their jobs to Democrats. It was that was, as we talked about, was the referendum on that Donald Trump factor. This had the Donald Trump factor in it late. Because if you think about the entirety of this race, from the time Roy Moore decided to run and the time that he got and he won the nomination for the Republican Party. And you remember we talked about how he was able to walk on the stage with a pistol in his hand and I'm a no-nonsense guy and I do this, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And from that view, a lot of people looked at it, this guy looks like he's crazy. But then all of the other things that happened, when all of the sexual harassment and the impropriety scandal initially hit, Republicans jumped all over Roy Moore and said, especially Mitch McConnell, said he does not deserve to run. We do not need to have this guy running. Don't vote for this guy. If he's done something illegal, he deserves to go to jail. As we got closer to election time and they knew that there was a possibility that there was a Senate seat on the line that could be flipped, they changed their tunes. And it went from the angry, let's get him out of office because he may have sexually tried to be with young girls and teenagers and was accused of pedophilia or attempted pedophilia. It changed. Everybody started, well, you know, he denies it, so he must not have done it. And then Trump went in and said the same thing. The bottom line that came down to this, it's the scary part, to your point, Moore actually won white women by 11 points. The same group of people that actually voted for Donald Trump, but in lesser numbers. If you remember, white women voted for Donald Trump in huger numbers during this past election. That number, as far as Alabama goes, shrunk.
That's a 2-hour topic right there to discuss another day. Because
the Alabama electorate, the people that voted, 65% white, 30% black, and 3% Latino, and the majority of black people that lived in Alabama did something that they have not done in droves in a long time, and that is they went out to the voting booths and they voted. All of those worries about voter suppression, about the voter ID stuff and how, well, there may be voter fraud, et cetera, they had that fear that their vote was not going to count. And they went out in droves, and as you were saying, this was a lot against the Trump agenda. Between that and just the fact that Roy Moore was just an abhorrent human being, just from everything we've read and seen and heard. And I think that's what did him in.
All right. Not to flip the script too much a little bit, since we're talking about Senate race and Republicans and Democrats, last week, former Democrat senator, I think for Minnesota, Al Franken, resigned. Think carefully now. We all know this is the right thing to do, but do you think, honestly, in your personal opinion, he should have resigned from his seat?
Yes. Because you have to set the example. Irregardless of being, even if you're looking at what he said and what he did as quote unquote not as bad as, that's a bunch of garbage. The fearful thing that I have in this entire discussion is the fact that the scariest thing is it worse that we have such a pervasive societal issue where this behavior is normalized for men against women? Is that the scary part? Or is it scarier the fact that it happens so much that there are men that don't even remember what they did because it's been so normalized that they can just put it to the side and forget about that they even did it? They don't remember the victim, the alleged victim. They don't remember any the action involved because it may have happened 10, 20, 30, 40 years ago. So which is scarier?
For once, oh my gosh, I can't believe Sean is on point with something. That is the key thing I don't think a lot of people fail to realize. It has become a behavior. You don't realize you're doing it. I'm not making 100% excuses for it. You know, I know I'm probably going to be attacked by it later. You don't know what you're doing wrong. We're so used to it because society, come on, how many times we grow, well, overall, men grow women and vice versa. Play for around or you know, drunk parties and drunk moments, groping happen all the time. So when I hear sexual assault, so I'm like, okay, did the person got raped? No. What happened? He touched my butt. I'm like, really? That's it? Yes, it could be offensive, but to me, that's minimal. That's like the lowest of offensive, groping. Is it wrong yet? But to bring it back 20 years later, like you say all the time, what happened to Bill Cosby? Everybody was bashing Bill Cosby. Now Bill Cosby is quiet. Now it seems like everybody is guilty. Just yesterday, we just talked about, now ex-TV's host of the talk show, the cooking show of the Chew, Mario Patelli. He lost his job for groping and sexual assault. ESPN, you just told me today. What happened over there at ESPN, Sean?
Yes. Donovan McNabb, Eric Davis, two players. Basically, there was a lawsuit from a former hairstylist that used to work at the NFL Network who was suing a lot of players based on the fact that this she had been talked to, had text messages sent by former players, etc. And when I tell you that a lot of people got suspended or had their jobs ended or etc., Marshall Faulk used to play in the NFL, Heath Evans, Ike Taylor, they work at the NFL Network. Warren Sapp, I believe, was named in the lawsuit as well, but he doesn't work at the network anymore. Also, Donovan McNabb and Eric Davis, who also now work at ESPN, they were suspended as well. So we've had literally five or six people suspended in a span of one day because this news broke early this morning. And I remember texting it to you. Well, there's a lot of people that are losing jobs left and right. And I said this about a couple months ago. This is only going to get worse before it gets any better. And as we've heard Donald Trump talk about drain the swamp, this is what's actually happening now. The swamp in this situation is starting to be drained.
But this is my problem with it overall. Number one, as we're going to say a million times, we don't know the whole truth about these stories. Some of them, these stories are over exaggerated. I'm sure something happened. But you just say this former person, hairstylist, filed a lawsuit. If that person filed a lawsuit and no action take place, why back then? Why actions are taken now? Because all of a sudden it's trending, everybody's talking about it, everybody's scared. If you try to sue me, Sean, for sexual assault, and my producer pay you no mind, whose fault is it overall? Is the ones that try to take actions, I understand, you know, but why there's consequences now, all of a sudden? There's people at my job, and a lot of men are being frustrated. Like, when we hear this news nonstop, Al Franklin, Charlie Rose, Matt Lauer, all these guys are losing their jobs. Like, and you know, we keep asking ladies, why now? And some females can't even answer that question. I'm like, yes, this is the year of woman power. We understand that. And like, yes, you know what? What happened to the females are wrong. But once again, why now? Why this trending?
And I've said this before, we have to stop asking the why now question because this whole situation is more nuanced now. We've established this over, well, we've probably been talking about this discussion for a little over a year and a half now from the Trump, when he ran and the whole Access Hollywood tape stuff. We've gone from that and the Bill Cosby issues, et cetera. And we initially brought that up during the Cosby discussion about why now, why now, why now. We know the reason why now.
No,
the reason why
the Bill
we're
Cosby
hearing
is
about...
Though.
Well, yeah, that, it's,
Bill
it's
Cosby
different,
is different,
but I'm putting them in the same context as far as alleged rape, sexual assault, sexual harassment. I'm going to put them in that one situation. The reason why I'm saying that is as it pertains to my point, is when you do not have power as a female and all you're worried about is your career, having a career, being able to make money, being able to provide for your family, being able to be an entrepreneur, anything along those lines, the one thing you do not want to be looked at as either, quote-unquote, a malcontent or someone that upsets the apple cart. And if you don't have the power behind you or the bravery to come out and say, look, this happened to me. I did not feel good about this. This is not something that is supposed to happen. Because I know you have a daughter, and I'm pretty sure when your daughter gets old enough, you'll have the conversation about what's appropriate, what isn't appropriate, what a person shouldn't do, not to touch this, or any of those kinds of things. When you're taught that as a young girl, and you grow up and you go into the world, junior high, high school, you get your first job, etc., you're told, hopefully by the parents, there are certain things that you are not supposed to have happen to you. If this person touches this without your consent, That is wrong. That is what you're taught. And you go into the world, and everybody that has any male or female in any position of power that does that to you is wrong. And you don't have the power to speak back or speak up. That's why it's become such a pervasive thing now, that people are coming out now because they feel empowered now. People, women have been fed up with all of the garbage that's going on. The people that have gotten away with this is where we've seen have an ascension of power getting away with the way they've treated women. And I think women across the board have had enough, and that's what we're at right now.
Okay. Are you finished boring me to death right now with your preaching?
If I bore you and I educate you at the same time, then so be it.
You educate me, the King of Kings? Please.
Yes.
But well, back to Roy Moore. Do you think with all this, since we'll talk about sex and all this other stuff, do you think it started from the Donald Trump, Harvey Weinstein, or Bill Cosby, if you have to pick one? Where do you think there's a problem that came from?
Well, I think Trump was the tipping point. Weinstein brought the attention to mainstream Hollywood as far as stars and people in the industry. The Cosby thing made everybody look at the situation as, wow, somebody like Bill Cosby could do something like that. So I think that put the check mark on, okay, anybody could be a sexual harasser or could potentially have done something against females against their will. I don't think anyone is necessarily surprised with Trump and his boorish behavior, because he said and done so many things in general over the lifespan of his mainstream business life on television. So I don't think too many people were absolutely surprised. I think more people are disgusted than surprised. The Weinstein thing, I'm not sure. I really think the Cosby thing started everything here.
Yeah, I think the Weinstein, like you said, put it on the mainstream. And like Cosby started, Trump exploded, but the Weinstein put it on the map. It's like that was the final straw. After that, after Weinstein, the domino effect happened.
Yeah, it had to happen in stages. You had the outrage of the Cosby trial. You had Trump saying the outlandish garbage and getting away with it potentially. Then you have the Weinstein stuff, and then you had the Roy Moore stuff. So all of these things have happened, and like you said, it's like a domino effect. They all got lined up, and somebody tipped the first domino, and it's all starting to fall in order now.
Okay, well, talk about dominoes a bit. Yesterday morning in Times Square, of course, everybody was texting each other, are you safe, are you safe, are you safe? Early in the morning rush hours at Times Square, Port Authority train station. Ladies and gentlemen, for the outside listeners around the world, New York is a very unique place. When something happens in New York, it's crazy, it's sad, but most people's mentality is we keep on moving. We keep going. No matter what happens, we keep going. Can you tell us the update of this bomber, the subway terrorist now?
Yes. The update, basically, this happened at 7:20 in the morning yesterday in a Port Authority subway corridor where a lot of the trains connect to a lot of the buses as well. But we have Long Island Railroad. We also have New Jersey Transit. We have it's the hugest hub in the country, which connects New Jersey, Connecticut, and all of the other places that travel into that area. And this guy, I'm not even going to name his name. He's 27, and he's from Bangladesh. That's as far as I'll go as far as acknowledging who he is.
Decided and he lives in Brooklyn.
Yeah, he lived in Brooklyn because he was part of a visa program that allowed him to live in the United States because he was a relative of somebody that lived in the United States. If you're the relative of a citizen, the visa allows you to live with them. So he basically for the last 7 years lived in Brooklyn, New York. he decided to make a homemade pipe bomb, tape it to himself, and was going to detonate it as with as many people as possible, and he tried to do it as close to Christmas as possible, knowing there were so many people that were going to be around, etc. What happened is the pipe bomb detonated prematurely, just like a lot of these guys that are trying to do this homemade garbage. And really, luckily, he's the only one that really got hurt. I think there was one other person that was injured in there. But there's video of what actually happened. Somebody recorded it on their cell phone, and that video went viral as far as what happened. He took a few steps, the bomb went off, and he basically knocked himself out.
Well,
police
okay.
came, arrested him in the whole night.
And this is the funny part about us New Yorkers. When we all heard the news, of course, Sean, first thing that came to my mouth, of course, this guy's an idiot. If you're going to do the job, do it right. You know, that's what New Yorkers think. Like, don't waste our time doing this type of garbage.
There were more people upset that the trains were delayed than this fool detonating a bomb in the train station. That's how New Yorkers think.
You know, because when something happened in New York, when God knows, people jump in front of the train track, get killed all the time. People get sick on the subway. You know, fights break out. The only thing on people's mind is, I got to get to work, I got to get to school, I need to get to my destination. When I heard the bombing, baby mama drumming like, so you staying home? I'm like, hells no. I got to get to work. This is the busiest week. This is the busiest time for everybody.
Especially at your job. You definitely need to be there.
Yeah, you know, I can't say no. I got to find a way. And that's how New York came moving. It's just amazing how you heard about the bombing. It didn't scare New Yorkers too much. You're like, okay, no one got killed? Good. Let's keep on moving. Someone jumping the train track? Come on, man. Why you got to jump right now? You jump like another time? It's like, that's how we are.
It's a complete opposite way of thinking. My grandmother, who's 92 years old, when she saw it on the news, she's like, well, I hope you don't go outside and, you know, you try to be safe. And I'd usually tell my grandmother, I was like, look, I can't control what happens on the outside. I can only control what I can control as far as trying to be safe from certain areas that may have had something happen and just be vigilant. Other than that, I can't control what happens out there. As long as I do that, I pay attention, I'm good. So as I tell her that, she's like, okay.
It's funny that you say that because going home tonight for me, on the train, there was a guy, Muslim, you know, talking his language on the phone, and there was another guy next to me, and he kind of said a little bit out loud, like, you better not start no nonsense. I'm watching you. I'm like, okay. And, you know, the reason why the terrorists yesterday did the bombing was to commit suicide because he hates the way Muslims are being treated around the world.
Mm-hmm.
When I hear statements like that, I get annoyed and pissed off. So like, okay, once again, we talk about how not all Muslims are terrorists. There's some Muslim is a religion. It's like me saying, I'm a black guy. I hate the way white people treat me, so I go kill them all. So you hate the way Muslims being treated, so what do you want to do? You want to go blow people up. Now, does that make any sense at all?
No, but at the same time, we don't know what his particular pain and situation is. And a lot of his anger that he had was actually directed at President Trump, based on the way President Trump has gone along and done a lot of his rhetoric toward Muslims, Muslim countries, and a lot of places of other origins that are not American and that are not of religions that are recognized in the United States. He and his rhetoric have helped rile up a lot of people here. And remember what we talked about when shortly after Trump was elected, was that a lot of the things that he said were actually being used as recruitment tapes for people in ISIS and other radicalized groups that had hated the United States. They were basically, these are like, uh-huh. yeah, well, everything he's saying is what we believe against is he's trying to preach as anger and fuel towards that. These are the kinds of things that are happening. And now the other part about this story is that Sarah Huckabee Sanders, who is the press secretary for the president, had basically said if we were able to pass the Muslim ban, this kind of thing would not have happened because he would not have gotten his visa and he would not have been in the United States. So
but
we're hearing
stupid because, like you said earlier, he got here 7 years ago before any of this happened.
Exactly,
this
and that's the part of the reason why this guy had the anger that he had toward Trump and his administration in the first place. Probably
he was just another guy, another ISIS, you know, who was watching the ISIS video. He loved the ISIS videos. He probably believed he will get his 70 virgins or whatever. He was inspired by ISIS. And this is what ISIS do. They like to inspire young other people, brainwash them into committing acts of violence towards overall.
Yes, that they call soft targets.
Soft targets. And like I told other people, he fell at that yesterday. And he could tell in his face that he screwed up. Like, oh, damn, I did not blow myself up. I'm really going to get it now.
It's almost like the guy that tries to commit suicide, and it's like, okay, if you're going to commit suicide, make sure you succeed, because if you mess up trying to kill yourself and you live, and then you have to live with the consequences of a botched suicide attempt, you know, like you paralyzed, you can't walk, you can't move your arms and legs. It's that kind of mentality that goes along with this kind of thinking, which makes no sense.
And that's why we all call this guy an idiot. Like I remember we talked about this guy years ago, the shoe bomber. When
yes.
The guy was trying to plant a bomb into the shoe. What the hell you think he was doing? Trying to plant a bomb in the shoe and then trying to blow up a plane.
Exactly.
It's like, and you know what? There's other ways to make a statement about wrongdoing towards your religion, towards your people. But once again, people believe in violence and people are brainwashed into that. But the
yes.
thing, I like what the new conference said yesterday. Ladies and gentlemen, we cannot stop every single attack. There will be more like this coming. There will be more like this coming. And this is the first suicide bomber attempt in the United States.
Yes. This is the third attack in New York City since September of last year. But it's the second in 2 months as far as an attack. Well, remember, we had just a couple months ago, we had the attack in, Central Park?
Lower Manhattan.
In the bike lane. So we had that where 8 people were killed. So these kinds of things, as I've stated before, it's a shock that things like this have not happened more often. I'm not condoning that to be the case, but based on just how many people live in New York, the time of the climate that we live in, with all of the anger and vitriol and how many different people live here between Jewish and Protestant and all of the different races, religions, and creeds that live in New York City itself, you am shocked that these kinds of things are not happening more often.
And I'm happy you brought that up, Sean, before I go to UK, dog. It's sad to say that we are surprised this does not happen more often, because especially after Trump made the announcement last week about the Jerusalem and Tel Aviv by moving the U.S. Assembly
yes.
over where that pissed everybody off.
Mm-hmm.
This is where it starts from.
Yes.
But once again, you expect people to respect Muslims. When you see act like this, Donald Trump will encourage, like, you see, this is why we need to ban Muslims. We need the travel ban. And now you have people who are naive. Look at the Muslim people like, are you going to blow yourself up? Are you going to blow yourself up? You know, they're going to get that look from people, especially in New York. Yes, we do move on. At the same time, when we say when we see something, say something, don't be surprised. If one guy looked funny, people will say something or try and do something right away, and they will get away with it. So the families of the suicide bomber, they got upset at, you know, how the way they got treated. Like, one of them, got the teenager got pulled out of school listen, if something happened, the law enforcement would do anything. They have the power to do anything they want to get information out of you. There's no ifs, ands, or buts. You have a suicide bomber yesterday who tried to blow up the train station, kill people. They're going after everybody. So everybody who's affiliated with this guy is going to get questioned. So you could try to do your lawsuit and question how you got treated. It's not going to work out because guess what? Welcome to America. Yes, yes. Dog.
Man, oh, man. Yeah, this was one of these weeks. This week was filled with events. And the bombing in Port Authority was one of them. And I just got to say this to the stupid, dumb idiot. You know, you thought that you were going to blow everybody up? Well, you're wrong, because your plan backfired big time. You're the one that's hurt now. You're the one that's laying up in Bellevue Hospital. You're the one who is about to face federal prison. You stupid, dumb, with your idiotic thought that you were going to make a statement. Well, guess what? It backfired.
Okay, so now, do you think this guy is stupid? K-Dog?
Well, you know what? When it comes to ignorance, you know, I look at everyone who hates as ignorant. And for this guy
Why do you say that?
Hatred is ignorance, because you know what? If you don't know, you can't just, okay, you're going to look at somebody and say you hate them? You don't need to know anything about the person.
Yeah, but remember, he did this because the way Muslims are being treated around the world, especially by what Donald Trump is talking about and preaching to other people.
Well, I've been reading about it as of late. There has been a lot of hatred going on, and it's happened since the election of last year. Since 2016, there's been acts of hatred, especially towards Muslims. But what this guy did, he just fanned the flames of ignorance, because you know what? Now, if you thought that after 9/11 that people looked at every Muslim person as a terrorist, it's about to get even worse. If you understand what I'm saying, you understand that. So everyone looks at people already look at Muslims as terrorists, and you're just fanning the flames for that kind of hatred. By that stupid act, you understand?
Phil, do you agree? Hold on, do you agree with K-Dog?
Hey, Phil. Just to say this, I'm glad you guys are okay, that you weren't anywhere near the Port Authority at the time.
I'm untouchable. They can't touch me.
I forgot. You're the king of kings.
Thank you.
You don't need to feed into his mania right now. But I digress.
I think, you know, from what K-Dog just alluded to, it's stuff like this that they're doing is just going to make the hatred towards Muslims even worse. And it all, you know, if you think about it, it all started with 9/11.
Yes.
And it's just gotten worse and worse and worse.
True.
And this idiot, could you just imagine? Okay, he's in Bellevue right now.
Yeah.
Where do we put him in prison? Wait till they put him in a prison. Oh, God,
He's going to a federal prison, Phil, because this is what it is, Phil. And like I stated before, you know, since 9/11, there has been this increase in hatred towards Muslims. And I was reading in a reliable source, they said since the election of 2016, there have been many instances of hatred towards Muslims. There's been many incidents. Some of them don't even make it in the news, of mosques being targeted, of Muslim families facing threats. And now with this, like I said, it's going to get worse. People are going to look at Muslims like,
Wait till they send him to prison. God knows what the male prisoners are going to do to him in there. And
oh
if he
goodness.
thought Here's one that'll get you laughing. If he thinks, you know, oh, I'm going to blow myself up, there's 72 virgins waiting for me up there. Yeah, who said they were women?
Exactly.
They're
going to be Big Bubba women.
But believe it or not, guys, let's be honest, he will be safe in prison because he will be isolated. So
he's not going to be part of the general population, that's for sure.
No, they know what will happen to him, so they're not going to do that.
He will be killed.
He will be well protected. But besides that, I want to be serious for a second. It's funny how everybody keeps assaulting him as New Yorkers, as the New Yorkers that we are. Imagine this thing happened in other states. Like for example, the massacre in Texas at a church shooting. Everybody was crying and shut it down. If the same massacre happened in New York, we would still keep on moving, or we would sit down and cry?
No, we keep moving because you know what I like. You know what it is about New Yorkers. We have an inner strength in ourselves because, especially now during this festive time of the year, during the holiday season, when you have Christmas, and tonight is the start of Hanukkah.
Happy Hanukkah, Phil.
Happy Hanukkah.
Thank you.
You know, I just want to say this, is that as New Yorkers, and I've seen this during 9/11, we can't stay down forever. I mean, when you think you knock us down, we get right back up. And to see the people like up on Fifth Avenue, because where I'm at, I work at Fifth Avenue, and you should see the amount of people that are coming out to see the window displays at Saks Fifth Avenue. Some of the streets are shut down because so many people are outside. They did not let this stop them from enjoying the holiday season.
And you know what? Something like that shouldn't stop the spirit of New York. And then, like I said in the beginning of the show, that will keep New York going. No matter what happens, we keep going. And as Sean said many times, we don't see another 9/11, but we will see a little impact here and there, like yesterday, and the truck that ran over the bicycle people. And there will be a lot more to come. Surprisingly, there has not been a lot that happened prior to that. But it's like it's real crazy. But so Phil, we discussed this yesterday or a couple of days ago. What do you think about Donald Trump's move or talk in Israel? I'm interested in what you have to say about that.
You know, it can go, but you know, it's a touchy subject because when you think about it, Jerusalem has always been regarded as the holy land of that region of Israel, and I kind of see where Donald Trump is coming from because it does make sense to, say Jerusalem should be recognized as the capital of Israel, but at the same Tel Aviv has been the capital for God knows how many years already. You got the embassies in there. Why move them?
But during that move, you know, will start conflicts cause a major threat to the peace treaties.
Of course, you know that there's always going to be ramifications or whatever it is. I mean, not everybody's going to go for it. I mean, it seems like every word that comes out of Donald Trump's mouth these days is pissing everybody off as it is.
Ask any women that have listened to Donald Trump's tweets over the last couple of days. They'll tell you just what you just said, Phil.
I'm surprised by Phil's answer because, you know, I don't know too much about this history. I'm not going to lie about that. But, like, I was like, why they did this type of move knowing that it would cause so much controversy and so much conflict? And maybe because of that move, we had the suicide bomber yesterday, you know, as a retaliation. You know, I'm sure there'll be more to come. So do you think Donald Trump is really sparking the fire even more?
He probably is. I hate to say it, but it just seems every word that is coming out of his mouth these days, there are times where he makes sense, but most of the time, it's just causing more chaos. And it's like we've spoken about this all the time. It seems like every time he, ever since he's become president, and my mother agreed with me, it seems there's more chaos than we've ever had before.
This is a problem.
No, you're right about that.
Put my brother on the phone, and he'll disagree with every one of you. I'll tell you that right now. He's a big Trump supporter.
This is a person, speaking of our president, who has, in so many different instances, has pissed off African-Americans. He's pissed off now Jewish people as far as the entire the Jerusalem thing that we were just talking about, women. He is pissed off Kins. He's anybody that comes within an eyelash of him that doesn't think the same way, he's pissed off. And it's ironic in the fact that USA Today, which we know is a prominent newspaper magazine, they did a scathing editorial. They don't normally do editorials. But this is the one quote that I take out of this editorial that I think is probably the most scathing thing that they said. With his latest tweet clearly implying that a U.S. senator would trade sexual favors for campaign cash, President Trump has shown he is not fit for the office. Rock bottom is no impediment for a president who can always find room for a new low. A president that would call Senator Gillibrand, if we remember that whole thing that happened over the last couple of days, implying that she's a whore, she is not fit to clean the toilets in the Barack Obama Presidential Library or shine the shoes of George W. Bush. That is the most scathing thing I've heard any publication say about our current president right now. And I'm pretty sure he's going to go ahead online when this comes out and tweet something about it, because he can't help himself. And somebody with that level of insecurity that has the power that he has, with all of the things that have happened, in endorsing somebody that run for a public office who potentially is a pedophile, goes to show you how low that he has gotten and has shown, and that the people that have still supported him are looking, latching on to him for something that he's not going to give them.
But I have a bone to pick with K-Dog. Going back to the topic earlier about Roy Moy, how, you know, he's a scumbag, he did this, he did that. Like I told Sean earlier, this race, even though Doug Jones?
Doug Jones.
Doug Jones.
Even though he won the election, like I told Sean, this was a very close race. And I told you guys earlier, despite the type of person he is, it's really the people that will put him in office or not. Still, overall, this was a very close race. Should I tell you something, Kato, of the mentality of most people thinking, knowing that Roy Moy was, he said this about black people,
he
slept with young girls 40 years ago.
He did say those things because
he was very close to winning the seat. So.
No, he was. He was very close of winning the seat, but however, here's where everything else lied. The fact that here's where it all boils down to. Tonight, we just witnessed something that, you know, some people did not expect. Some people expected it and some people did not expect. And as I was reading about it, and it says in a very reliable news source that I was reading about, they said, here's what it says. It says, it's a great day for Alabama. You know, and I'm going to read it. And it says, we've seen through the demagoguery of a man who has been kicked out of office twice for putting his religious beliefs above the U.S. Constitution, we've seen through the hypocrisy of a man who has preyed on young girls while suggesting that gays and lesbians should be executed in order to protect children for them. It is a great day for every person in Alabama who rejects bigotry and values the rule of law. Now, what this is a direct punch in the face to Donald Trump. if you understand what I'm saying, you know,
yeah.
This is what's going on, and it is because what made them make, I mean, yes, it was a close election because Roy Moore had a lot of supporters. And I think what really turned it around was that Steve Bannon went and campaigned for him, as well as Donald Trump. So
that was
the
death knell right there. With all
yeah.
with the fact that Trump is looked at as toxic, and the fact that Steve Bannon was ousted by the White House because of his own brand of rhetoric, that a lot of people thought that he was the puppet master behind Donald Trump and his campaign in the first place. The fact that these two endorsed him, and all of those Republicans had so many negative things about Roy Moore, then when they realized, as we started to get closer and closer to the election, that they started to change their tune, well, let's let the people decide. We were talking just not that long ago, like 2 weeks ago, they were saying he should resign, he should give up the race, because he's done all of these things. It changed.
Mitch McConnell himself even called him out.
But I give him Roy Moore credit. He said, screw you, all you guys, and did not give up. I respect him for that. If you're the better person
what?
For the
he
job.
Lost.
No, hold on. If you're the better person for the job, if you know you're better, then go for it all the way. You guys always talk about moral issues. I'll talk about who could do the better job, despite the history, because Roy Moore is not the only
possible. He's been ousted out of that job twice before he ran. That's
exactly.
The reason why he was able to run for this seat.
And I just read from a reliable source what it said. And
I don't care about your reliable source. The polls showed that he almost won. That's what really matters.
Yes, he did.
You have to question the people mentality. And I told you before, question the people that believe in this Roy Moore crap. That's the scary part about it. It's not just him that think about it. There's 20,000 people that think the same way as Roy Moore. The same people, the same millions of people that think the same way as Donald Trump. Even though they're somewhat hiding or something that do regret, they still believe what Donald Trump feed into these people out every day.
It took all of those African-American votes to help Doug Jones win. If they didn't vote, this would have probably have been a landslide. So that goes to your point of what you were saying.
Exactly. And you know what? Let me just add more to this, Sean, and to everybody and to all of you who are, you know, to the panel, to Hot Rod, to Phil, to Sean. This is what it all comes down to, the power of the people. When people stand up and make themselves heard, when you get out there and you vote, not sitting at home, not standing there saying, oh, this and this and this, talking, action speaks louder than words. And I think tonight we saw the actions of the people. The people came out there to vote. Yes, it was a close election, but still, this is what happens when you push. Because here's what Doug Jones had. He also had the support of, I mean, much to my surprise, okay, being that I love sports, Charles Barkley came out and he spoke on his behalf. That says something.
Well, we got 6 minutes left. I want to address this topic again because this is very trending and it's getting on my last damn nerves. And since I got Phil and Kato on the line now, earlier we were talking about more guys, more talent that got suspended from the networks for sexual assault, sexual harassment. Do you think sexual harassment and sexual assault have been blown out of proportion right now?
Well, yes, it has been. I mean, listen.
Wow.
Here's what's going on. That's why I'm going to say this in all fairness. True, let me start by saying, a woman should not be disrespected in the workplace. Second, there's a line to be drawn at the workplace. You, as a man, have to be very, very careful. You have to be aware of the fact that when you come into a workplace, especially a place of business, even if a woman should flirt with you, be very, very, very careful to control your other male instinct and not fall into it. Because you know what? If you go ahead and fall into this trap and you start to change or reject a woman's way, and I, like I said, a woman should be respected at the workplace. Guys, just be careful. Because
Phil?
Trust me, these allegations do come out.
I do agree with K-Dog. Plus, you know, when you go into the workplace these days and you are trained, they train you with this, you know, what is right, what is wrong, and you see pamphlets,
yes.
You know, not where the public can see it, but where, like, in the lounge areas of the workplace or the break rooms, you know, what is right, what is wrong, what is sexual harassment, it's all there. It is all there. Now,
excuse
me,
Phil. Excuse me, Phil. I agree with you, and we have a friend of ours, Matt, that told us, like, you know, training, seminars, and all that, and all that good stuff. And to add on to what you're saying, Phil, some companies, most companies, and you guys know my company, don't say anything, do those type of things, let's be honest, to cover their asses. You know, I'm like, okay, I show Phil, I show K-Dog, I show Sean what not to do, what not to say. So if something happened, if you guys do it, it's on you. My hands are clean. So I'm not liable for anything. So when y'all guys do the harassment or sexual assaults, you can't sue me. You can sue the accuser. So some companies just do it just to cover their asses. Sorry, Phil.
I'm sure. I am sure they do. I mean, just about these days with almost anything, you have to cover your ass. I mean, and it's just not sexual harassment. It could be just about anything, you know. Just making sure that you've done your job correctly, that there's no mistakes. You know, that's what it's all about from what you're saying, and it is true. You got to cover your ass. But at the same point,
okay.
Look at me. I work with a bunch of women. Hey,
oh.
I know what's right and I know what's wrong. So don't you, Ronnie?
No,
don't you even say something stupid?
John, 2 minutes.
Yep.
Go ahead.
I don't know how to follow that up.
Hurry up, because I have too many jokes in my mouth. I have too many jokes right now. Go ahead.
I know. That's what I'm saying. As far as being careful, you have to know, as I've said before, you males have to relearn how to interact with females, especially on the job, how to be professional, what they can and cannot say, still be respectful, still feel that they can interact with a female and joke around if they are comfortable without it leading to what we are seeing now and then is happening on a regular basis. That's what I think we have to get back to, is that just central air of respect that doesn't seem to be there, because our society has allowed the behavior that all of these men are losing their jobs over was normal. And it's become so normalized that when we go forward into how these people are going to go at their job, how are you going to interact with a female when you know that behavior was frowned upon, and now you're afraid that you're going to lose your job by maybe making a joke or something along those lines, and that's not necessarily the case. It just has to be relearning, that's all.
Okay, I've got a message now from our chat room. Is it true that the reason Anisha B is not on the show because she's filing a case against me and sexual harassment? can I talk about that right now on the air? So I'm terribly sorry. Anisha B is not filing a case against me, and she knows she better not for her own good reason. But ladies and gentlemen, thank you for tuning in to another crazy edition of the Absolute Truth Show right here on Blog Talk Radio. I'm the Hot Rod with Sean Black, Phil the Fishman Fisher, and K-Dog. Yes. And I don't know who the hell K-Dog's talking to, but I'm stuck in the room with three guys that love to grope me all night.
Come on, bitch. Speak for yourself.
Speak for yourself.
Thank you so much, everyone. And as always, ladies and gentlemen, the pleasure was all
yours.
Sorry. Good night, guys.
Good night.
Later.
Be safe.
Good night.
Peace.